This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
Hi, I'm Barbara Lopez-Coons, Global Chief Executive of DIA, and I have the pleasure of being here today with Sandy Milligan. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, thank you for welcoming me. And I am Sandy Milligan, and I head up Global Regulatory Affairs and Clinical Safety at Merck.
So Sandy and I have known each other for a while.
Yeah.
We worked together on the board of DIA. Sandy is a former chair of the board, and she is also a superstar at Merck. So tell me a little bit about what you do at Merck.
So at Merck, my organization helps negotiate the regulatory pathways and the freedom to operate for whether it's the clinical data coming in for new products, whether it's change management on the CMC and manufacturing side. And then we also have the safety organization inside of my group. And we do all the clinical, as well as the post-marketing safety experience and make sure that we always have the right assessment of the benefit risk of the products. And we work mostly with the regulatory agencies all around the world. So it's a heavy lift.
It's a lot.
It is. And I'm fortunate enough to have folks in 65 countries around the world. It's very exciting.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like a really big job. So you are deep into the process issues and the interconnectivity between clinical research, clinical development, and regulatory approval. So tell me a little bit about your perspective and in terms of what are the challenges that exist along that process pathway?
Well, there's a number, right? And a lot of it is around making sure that we have the right data to answer the questions that are coming in for the regulatory agencies, trying to anticipate the questions that they might have, whether that's around a particular vaccine or a small molecule or biologic, as well as the clinical questions that we're trying to ask. And then from the perspective of being an industry, how do we most effectively gain the data that the agencies want to see and evaluate in the most expeditious and efficient manner? So we want high quality data with the right number of patients involved for the broadest indications and make sure that we use the company's assets wisely.
Yeah, we've been hearing so much at DIA about data and digitization. What are you seeing as some of the opportunities to build those efficiencies into your processes?
Well, it's interesting. You have to get to a point where you can have efficiencies. And I think a lot of the companies in the pharma space have to start thinking of themselves as not just a high scientific company, but also a high technology company. We have so much data coming in, whether it's generated from our own clinical trials, or if there's opportunities with devices and wearables, real world evidence databases. There's so much data coming into the company that we need to have the right tools in order to assess and make sure that that data, from a regulatory perspective, selfishly, that we can enable the use of that data for a label extension or enhancement, or to better inform about a safety issue or population for the labeling and patient information.
Right. And, you know, when you think about the sort of continuum, if you will, from discovery to patient use, we've been hearing this term digital health.
Yes.
What does digital health really mean to you? And how do you interpret that in your work at Merck?
Well, I think it's environmental, right? I think there's a lot of changes, obviously. And when I think of digital health, I also think about the individual as a catalyst to bring forward all sorts of data. And when you think about just every single day, how you interface with the environment, yes, or how your internal environment interfaces you with the microbiome research that's going on, mm-hmm, and the wearables, so much data is captured. And as we experience the healthcare industry in different ways and different touch points, there's a lot of feedback data that can occur. And
yes,
so I think digital health to me is not just our ability to access, whether it's cloud-based computing or if it is wearables and clinical trials, which is all fantastic, but it is really about how do we make sure that we're ready to accelerate our capabilities in analyzing high-quality data for the right purposes and making sure that there's the analytics on the backside are usable either in a regulatory sense or something else to improve the industry, mm-hmm, and the way we operate in our own space.
So thinking about that, I know you've been a practicing physician at some point in your career. Thinking about that in the true continuity into the use of that data with a patient, whether it's through the clinical trial or post-licensure in use, even through hospital systems? How are you seeing that digitization extend all the way through the back end of the process, if you will?
I think you raised a great question, Barbara, because I think that is where the rubber really hits the road right now and probably where we need the most work. I think large organizations, healthcare organizations, have broad infrastructure. Think about the Kaiser organization in California or the Veterans Administration across the United States. Or Medicare, right? Capturing large amounts of data. But I think for the community practicing physician, there's more individualized software packages, or maybe there's some larger access to digital utility that the doctors have. But I don't think that they're networked. I don't think that we're capturing the data. And it'll be interesting to see where wearables or patient-driven technology may actually drive a higher level of post-market data, if you will, than actual physicians' offices. So we need to get a place where we can enable the healthcare providers, and whether we provide the right incentives to the healthcare providers in order for them to adopt the technologies that, frankly, the entire healthcare system needs in order to utilize the data to the best access.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've gone down the path of digitizing patient data through the physician's office, through EHRs. Are you seeing any activity to interconnect and interoperate between those systems and some of the systems that are being used in industry?
Well, I think you're seeing it a little bit on the clinical trials front, right? There's a lot more tools and capabilities in capturing the data real time for the clinical subjects who are experiencing what they're experiencing in the clinical trials. So hopefully there will be broader initiatives as some of that digital efforts or digital technology gets validated, if you will, in the course of a clinical trial, that hopefully there'll be a broader use. But there'll still need to be some incentives, right? And so what are those incentives to have physicians change and modify their behavior, because it's a big lift for them too. And, you know, trying to capture the right endpoints, the right vernacular, so we can actually use the data. So I think there's going to be a heavy lift, and we will be asking more of physicians when already there's a lot of pressure for efficiency, time management, cost management. But hopefully we can get the whole pull-through effect, because that would really help industry.
Yeah, and help patients as well.
Absolutely.
So where do you see some opportunities for new digital health tools across the continuum? We see so many new codes, if you will, coming up with unique approaches. And somehow when I look at it, I think, well, if you could sort of connect them up somehow, you'd have a real big answer. Are you seeing some of that too?
I am. I think there's some opportunities as some companies come together in a pre-collaborative or pre-competitive space, talking about the requirements that they might need. Let's say a safety system, the requirements they might need for a more effective, efficient pharmacovigilance system. And I think it's hard, if I was a vendor, you'd want to have more of a utilitarian perspective of what the needs are for a large co, a small co, a mid co, before you start building, right? You want to be able to build a product that's more generalizable and then fine-tune on the back end. So I think you see more of those discussions going on in that pre-competitive space.
Yes.
I do think also that there's some interesting startups. We visited some here at the DIA Global Annual Meeting, taking a look at some of the solutions that the vendors are bringing forward in finding gaps in the utilities that we do have and bringing the solutions forward. So I think there's still opportunities and good use cases to be had.
Mm-hmm. So I tell people that in my career, you know, when I was a researcher, I really wasn't imagining anything like the future that we're in. And in fact, some of the sort of interconnectivity that we see between industry and patient groups and physicians and regulators, you know, I was hoping for something that was much smaller than we actually are seeing, right? So what's your view?
I thought we'd be flying cars long before we had the interconnectivity that we do. I think it's fabulous. I think it's fabulous. The big push for patient-centric drug development is so critical. I think it's amazing to see regulatory agencies stepping up, recognizing that the health of their population is so important. Look at the regulatory revolution in China.
Incredible.
Having a healthy population is key to economic success. process.
Yes.
Having the fantastic dialogues that we are, whether it's a large agency or smaller agency with some of the new technologies that are coming up, and just thinking the what if, right? The what if. And it is incredible. And there's more trust, I think, between the different stakeholders in healthcare. And I think that when there are egregious occurrences that do occur, people are willing not to, they don't characterize and apply it to all the stakeholders.
Right, or just shut down because it was a mistake.
Exactly.
They work with
right.
it.
Right, and lessons learned, how can we improve? So I do think there's a healthier dialogue moving forward. Because I do think, although there's different perspectives and different reasons why we're all in healthcare, mm-hmm. it is all about the patient. And so getting patient access to important therapeutics that change their lives is why we're all here.
Absolutely. Remember the mission. Remember the end game. So now my last question for you, Sandy, is given this conversation we just had about we can't believe we're here, where do you think we're going next?
Oh, I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
Any imagination? I mean, you have such a wealth of experience from so many perspectives. I just wonder if there's, you know, do you imagine a future where we are really interdigitized?
Well, maybe.
Or?
Maybe. I see a world where I still think we have a ways to go to empower the patient. And just, you know, frankly, helping my mom. My mom had cataract surgery last week. And just helping her find access to the right provider, to the right information, to the right post-operative care that she needed. And that was a very minor one-off intervention. And I try to imagine how parents and caregivers and patients navigate our healthcare system, navigate the industry, navigate all of the twists and turns. I think in the future, that's what I hope, is that if you find out that you're diagnosed, your loved one's diagnosed with something that you need more, a higher level of intervention, that there is a clear pathway of who to talk to, how to access that intervention, and also to monitor, is that intervention working for me, right? I chose this path, and how quickly can I find out that intervention's working for me? And if it's not, what's the next step? Where's the next intervention? So that's what I really hope, because I think we already have some phenomenal technologies, mm-hmm. phenomenal interventions. They will improve as time goes on, but I think it's around access, just making sure that people can navigate and have paid for or pay for the right technologies and therapeutics.
Well, Sandy, I have to say, your mom's really lucky to have you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm lucky
to have her.
I hope that's every mom and every dad can have that in the future, and that we'll be able to enable that. And I'm lucky to have you here at DIA.
Thank you, Barbara.
So
no, it was great to spend time together, always.
Pleasure. Thanks.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.